following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Restaurant. I hope you're having a wonderful start to your Sunday morning. We are a weekend away from Thanksgiving, so maybe the kids are starting to come home. I know my son Jerry is coming home today from the University of Miami. My son Corey is coming home on Wednesday, and Noah is coming home on Tuesday. Mindy and Alana are local, so we're going to get the whole family home. We'll have close to 20 people, actually, for Thanksgiving, so it's going to be nice to get the whole group together and really have a nice family celebration. Thanksgiving's one of my favorite holidays, simply because, you know, you don't have to worry about the gifts and all of the ritual stuff. It's just the family hanging out, whether it's indoors, outdoors, however we do it. We'll have a meal together, we'll hang out, we'll watch the Thanksgiving Day parade. I know that was one of the favorite things that I used to do as a kid, was when I was growing up, when my mom was preparing for Thanksgiving that morning, we would turn on the TV and watch the Thanksgiving Day parade, and my brothers and I, we would all sit and watch it, and we still do that today, actually. It's you know, nice, fun things that we all do. I hope you're having a wonderful day, and I hope you're planning for a fun and thankful Thanksgiving, because we have much to be thankful for this year, that's for sure. We've gone through some of the most challenging 18 months, or perhaps even 24 months, I don't even know how long it's been, of our lives. This pandemic, COVID-19, has really changed the way we view and deal with a lot of things. Some of us are getting more and more comfortable re-entering the environment, while others, frankly, aren't. In fact, just a couple days ago, I was having lunch at a restaurant, and there was a couple that was already seated in a two-top right next to me. And I don't think it's because I smelled bad, but the four of us that sat down for lunch, this couple was an older couple. They both had their masks on sitting at the table waiting for their food to arrive. When we sat down at the table, they asked the waiter if they could move somewhere where they weren't too close to people. So there are some that are still being very protective and trying to be very safe, and some are frankly more cautious than others. I'm fully vaccinated, and anybody that comes into my office knows that you must be fully vaccinated before you can enter our office and work with us. But when you're in the office, we're not wearing masks. We are comfortable. However, it's, you know, every place is different, and people will complain and challenge everything. But my feeling is, look, if you're going to go into a private business, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a business, whether it's at the theater, whatever it is, those are all private businesses. And they have the right to dictate who they want to serve. You could even call it discriminatory, but you know what? A private business is allowed to do that. Now, there could be consequences that come from that. But if a private business says you must wear shoes and shirt or a mask or you have to wear a hat, whatever the rule is, they can do that. They can say this is what needs to happen in our place of business. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else. Look, we say the same thing in our homes. We have the right on our own private property to do what we want on our private property. And if we don't like what somebody is doing on our private property, we can ask them to leave, and we are well within our rights to do that. But there are sometimes consequences that come from that. I mean, you could have a right that says, I don't want people that have purple hair to come into my business. And you have every right to kick out somebody that has purple hair. However, that purple person with purple hair can write, and because we have a freedom of speech here in America, we have the right to post something, whether it's on a social media post, talk to our friends, whatever, and said, hey, I was removed from this business because I have purple hair. And just as the business has the right to discriminate, if you will, to say, sorry, you can't come to our place, that person has the right to say, here's the reasons why I'm upset with that business, and I don't think you should patronize that business. So it's a fine line we walk, but remember, just as we're listening to the radio, look, you're listening to the radio right now. You might not like what I'm saying. No one's compelling you to stay on this station. You can turn the dial. I hope you won't. Because I think we do provide some advice in a language everybody can understand. But I try to put this into perspective because I've seen so many people upset about, oh my goodness, they're making me wear a mask in the theater even though I had to show them a vaccination card, even though I had to show them my ID. And yes, logically in my head, I would agree with you if I'm fully vaccinated and I can prove that I've been vaccinated and everybody in the theater is vaccinated, why should I have to wear a mask? I don't question that. I don't think I should, but if the business says I should wear a mask or I have to wear a mask in order to see the show, I'm going to wear the mask. It's that simple. I can choose to patronize places or not patronize places that have rules that are set forth. It's a challenge, we said. There's rules that are in place, and then there are rules that are enforced. And whether it comes down to COVID or the mask mandates or your money, we have to understand we need to follow the rules. But we also have to realize there's oftentimes flexibility. Sometimes they're more guidelines than they are rules. And sometimes there's a variety of ways to do things. And one of the things that I've learned over the 30 years I've been doing this, and it becomes more and more popular, especially as we head towards the end of the year, are people seem to have this belief that they understand the rules and the guidelines when it comes to gifting money, whether it's gifting money to a charity, gifting money to their children, or a variety of different strategies when it comes to money. And oftentimes it's based upon what a friend or a neighbor or a relative talked to them about. And it might not be the full answer. So what I thought I'd do today is share with you some of the instances that we've been facing here in the office where we've had to help our clients better understand what needs to happen. The first one is one that I think many people are familiar with, but they simply don't understand how it works or why it works. And that is that when you turn the age of 72, all of your money in retirement accounts is subject to what's called a minimum distribution, a required minimum distribution from the IRS. And some might ask, well, why do I have to do it? What if I don't want the money? Or what's the purpose of this? So let's assume, for instance, you just have one retirement account. Let's say it's an IRA that you received from your previous employer. Maybe it was your old employer's 401k plan. And there was, let's say, $300,000 in the 401k plan. You've left the company and it's now rolled over into your IRA. And now you're age 72 and you're starting to get letters from this investment company saying, hey, you need to take money from your IRA. And you're like, but I don't want to take money from my IRA. But they say you have to. Why do you have to? Well, because the government said, and this used to be age 70 and a half, by the way, now it is age 72. The government has said at age 72, they want you to start taking a distribution from your IRA where you pay tax on that money. Because remember, all the money that you put into your 401k, as long as it wasn't a Roth 401k, if it was a regular 401k or into an IRA, chances are you put all of that money in on a pre-tax basis. Or if it was just an IRA, you took a tax deduction and put money in there, which means you never paid tax on that money. So the government finally wants to get their tax money. And the government is saying, at age 72, we want you to take a portion of that money. No, you do not have to cash out your whole IRA. Many people seem to think they have to cash out their IRA. They do not. And many people do it by mistake because they simply think they had to. No. You're required to take a minimum distribution. And how much is that minimum distribution? Well, it's actually based on the value of your account on December 31st, in this case, of 2020. Whatever the value of your account was on December 31st of 2020, let's say it's $300,000. That amount of money has been reported to the IRS. And the IRS has also been told that you are 72 years old, that you're going to be 72 years old in the year 2021, which means you need to take a minimum distribution. Well, how much is that distribution? Well, there's what's called a uniform table that you can go to find out what that percentage is. And that percentage changes every year. As you get older, the amount that you have to take from your IRA as a minimum distribution goes up ever so slightly, not a lot. So let's say, and I don't even have the number in front of me, but let's say it's 3.8%. So if you had let's say $100,000 account, just to make this easy. If you had a $100,000 IRA, you would be required to take $3,800, if the percentage was 3.8, $3,800 from your IRA. Now, is anybody forcing you to spend that money? Not at all. But you have to take possession of it, put it in the bank, put it in another investment account. You have to take that $3,800 and pay taxes on it. Now, most companies, when you take a minimum distribution from your IRA, will offer to withhold the federal and state taxes, if applicable, on your distribution. And the remainder can be sent to you, can be sent to your investment account, whatever you want. Now, some people choose to wait to take that distribution at one point in the year. Others, who are generally in retirement, say, you know what? I don't want to take it once a year. I'd like to take maybe $300 every month rather than $3,800 over the course of the year. You can take it out in monthly installments. The IRS doesn't care when you take your money. All they care about is that you take it out before the end of the year. And by the way, if you don't, did you know that the penalty is 50%? I didn't say 15. I said 50%. That is a substantial penalty. You must, and you should, take your distribution from your IRA. Now, what if you had several IRAs? What if you had an old 401k that's still held with a previous employer? What if you still have an IRA that's in the bank, or one that's in a brokerage account? How do you figure out how much of a distribution do you need to take collectively from the group? Well, you still have to go back and find out what the value of those accounts were at the end of 12/31/20. Now, do you have to take a proportionate amount from each of the retirement accounts? No, you actually don't. You could take it all from one account if you like, but it would behoove you to let the other financial institutions know that you've taken your required minimum distribution elsewhere, because they're going to start sending you nasty notes that saying, hey, you need to take your required minimum distribution. But if you can send them documentation that you've already taken it elsewhere, that's great. We need to think this thing through. And sometimes what we find here at Friedman Financial is that when you get into your 70s, you say, you know what? I want to make my financial life a lot simpler. And perhaps there's a way where I could consolidate all of my retirement accounts all in one place. And then in the back of the head, you're hearing this little devil on your shoulder saying, oh, but I was told never to put all of my eggs in one basket. Well, you're not. Because now these days, when you combine all of your IRAs, yes, it might be held with one brokerage company, but you could have multitudes of investments within that brokerage universe, which allows you to not put all of your eggs in one basket. You have diversification. You have asset allocation, assuming you set it up properly. And then you need to say, how does this IRA account integrate with everything else in my life? To give further simplicity, further crystallization of what you need in your financial life. It's essential to do this. But it's essential to get the rules right and to not necessarily follow what everybody else is telling you should do. You should do because that's what they did. Your situation is very unique. Don't believe that your income, your assets, the taxes you pay, the lifestyle you lead is exactly like somebody else's. We need to structure strategies that align especially to you and your goals. I think I've told you many times on this radio show that many of the people we talk with feel like they don't have enough money for retirement. But in reality, when we look at everything that they have, not only do they have enough, they haven't realized how much more they can spend. Yeah, that might sound strange. But the ability to draw money from an account is something that you should understand how to do and have the proper guidance so that you're taking it from the right places. That's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. And we continue to do this each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on North Shore 104.9. We're going to take a quick break. When I get back, I want to talk to you about gifting and donating securities. Because I think it's really important, especially as we head towards the end of the year. Many people are thinking about giving gifts to the grandkids or maybe donating to their favorite charity. But maybe there's a smarter way to do it. Let me show you how. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial. Located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's restaurant at 41 Cross Street. Hope you're doing well. It is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and we're excited. The kids are starting to come home this week. We're going to have a busy house on Thursday, and I hope you're excited for the Thanksgiving holiday, one of my favorites of the year. In the previous segment, we were talking a little bit about answering and trying to provide some clarity around some of the most popular questions that we get asked, where people don't fully understand the answers to the questions they're asking. They're always, a lot of times it's based on advice that they got from a friend, a neighbor, and a relative, and it's partially true, but not exactly true. And one of the things that I've learned, I mean, I have this conversation with my kids and with others all the time, is that would you believe that we read three times more than we've ever read before? Now, I heard that statement and I did not agree with it. We read three times more than what we read 20 years ago. And I'm like, there's no possible way. And then I dug deeper and I read this story. One of the challenges that we do these days is we react to a headline or a soundbite and think that that headline or soundbite gives us all the information that we need to know about the story. In this case, where it said that we read three times more than we've ever read before, I disagreed, so I read the story. And what I learned is that they were right. Now, what we read and how we read things is very different today. 20, 30 years ago, we would read books, we would read articles, we would read magazines, we would read much more information beyond a headline. But today, our reading is constantly delivered through notifications, sound bites, headlines, Instagram feeds, Facebook posts. We are reading all the time. Yet the reading we're doing is very surface level. Yet unfortunately for so many people, that's where it stops and that's what people believe to be true. That the headlines that are being shared, whether it's headlines on food, on medicine, on politics, on finance, the headline holds all the answers. Well, folks, that's simply not true. We need to dig a little deeper. And when we begin to expose some people that we talk with about the money subjects, their world begins to open up and they realize how limited understanding that they have when it comes to money. My business partner, Marion, is famous for saying, though she didn't come up with this, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what we don't know. And it's so true when we have people that come to us and they challenge us on how we do our financial planning and how we work through projects and stuff, and they give us these answers. I'm like, where are you coming up with this information? It's simply not true. So what I try to do on a show like this, on Dollars and Cents, is to try to give you financial advice in a language you can understand that goes a little bit beyond a soundbite or a headline. So here's something that people, that I got a call from recently. Someone called us up and they said, Mark, we want to gift money to our four grandchildren. And we want to give them, me and my spouse, we want to give them $25,000. Now that's a lot of money, but whether it's $25,000 or $500, doesn't matter. And we want to make the announcement of this gift at the Thanksgiving Day table this Thursday. Now, how old are the grandchildren? The grandchildren are 10, 12, 18, and 19. And so I explained, so they said, what's the best way to give them money? Now, one of the things that's interesting with this family, and I know all the thing that we hear about is, oh my goodness, if you give it money in a certain way, it could ruin their opportunity to get financial aid. Well, in this case, the family doesn't need to worry about qualifying for financial aid. They're not going to get it. The kids, there's enough resources that have been put aside by their parents to provide for college. But the grandparents want to give $25,000 to each of the kids. So, first of all, can they do it? And what does that mean to do it? Well, many people seem to think that $10,000 is what you can give to any one individual. That used to be true. Today, that number is $15,000. And if two people are giving it, husband and wife, that's $30,000. So giving $25,000 to any individual or as many individuals as they want is certainly something well within the scope of what they can do without any reporting, without any knowledge, without any significant notations anywhere. The question is how do they give it? Well, their thought was that they want to give this $25,000 to their kids, to their grandkids, and they don't want them to use it for college. They want this to be an account that hopefully they'll use towards maybe a down payment on a house someday, somewhere after they're done with college. It's an account that's been set up for them from grandma and grandpa that allows them to do what they want. Now, of course you've heard of a 529 plan. A 529 plan in this case doesn't make sense, does it? Because the 529 plan must be used for college costs. Grandma and grandpa don't want to give it as college for college costs. They want it for the future. So grandma and grandpa have thought, we want to give the custodian, we want to give the money to them through what's called a custodian account. Or maybe you've heard the term UGMA, Uniform Gifts to Minors Act, or UTMA. And that's what they want to do. They don't have to set up sophisticated trusts or anything like that. We're only talking about $25,000. So they want to set up an account where the child is the beneficiary. They're the ones that are going to benefit from this money. And the grandmother, we decided, would serve as the custodian for the account. And as the custodian for the account, it is her job to make sure that the money that is used in this plan is used for the child's health, maintenance, and support. Maybe you had a UGMA or a UTMA account when you were younger. Your mom was on the account. Your dad was on the account. And we've learned years, for many years, there are people that are still in their 40s or 50s or even 60s that still have UGMA accounts from their parents, their grandparents. Well, one of the things that happened this year, or actually I think it was last year, was the UGMA account is supposed to be owned by the person who is it's supposed to be owned by the child when they reach age of majority. And when this grandchild reaches the age of 21, that money is legitimately theirs without any more control from grandma. Did you know that? In fact, I had set up UGMA accounts for my kids years ago. And when my son Jerry turned 21, I got a call from our brokerage firm that said your son is now 21. You need to change the registration on this account so that Jerry is the primary owner. And that's happening with accounts all over the country. Are you comfortable if you put money? So I have to ask my client, who's putting $25,000 in for each grandchild, are you comfortable putting money into an account which at age 21, remember, they'd still be in college probably at that time because you usually graduate around 22 years old, 21 or 22. That money is legitimately theirs. If they walked into my office with their driver's license and said, hey, I want my money, please give it to me. I'm under obligation to give it to them. And so that was a question that we had to have with the grandparents. And they said, absolutely, we're comfortable with that. And so what ends up happening is at age 21, the children can put their, rename that or re-register that account in just their name. Now, sometimes parents say, well, geez, I don't know how comfortable I am with that. But what if you could set it up as what's called a joint account now with the child? So for instance, when Jerry, my son Jerry that we talked about, turned 21, Jerry was like, that's nice that it's in my account, but I still don't know much about money, Dad. How can we do this together? And so we had Laura, my wife, become the joint owner with Jerry. So they both, if Jerry wants money from the account, it is legitimately his. But because it's jointly owned now, he and Laura can consult one another to say, hey, is this a good decision on how to make and how to use the money? So that makes sense. However, in my client's case, the question became, how do we fund each of the four custodial accounts? We're talking about $100,000 here. Four accounts with $25,000 in them apiece. The client was ready to write a check. He had money in his bank account. $25,000 for each of these custodial accounts. And I said, hold on a second. Maybe there's a better way to do this. Well, this person, he's a grandparent. He's in his 70s. And they have investment accounts with what are called highly appreciated securities. Maybe it was mutual funds that they owned or stocks that they owned or bonds. I'm just using these as an example. And they've grown quite a bit. Let's say he had a portfolio that had, I'll use the number, $500,000 in it. And his investment into this account might have been $300,000. And today it's worth $500,000. This is a $200,000 capital gain on this account. And if he sold out his account, he'd have to pay tax on $200,000 at his tax rates. But what if he could give some of the shares of the appreciated securities that he owned in $25,000 lots to each of the four kids? They'd actually get the securities rather than cash going right into their brokerage account. The kids, through the grandfather or through the kids, maybe they have a conversation and talk about the new investments that are in the account. And if the kids wanted to sell the securities and buy something else together with a conversation with grandma or grandpa, not only could they sell the money, but sell the securities, but the tax liability would likely be negligible because they'd now be taxed at the children's rate, not at grandma and grandpa's rate. My client thought this was the greatest idea because nobody takes the time to talk about that strategy, the idea of gifting appreciated securities to a child and then letting the child sell it at a much lower tax rate. And that's what we did. It was a strategy that was put into place. Two of the kids left the money the way it was. Two of them sat down with grandma and grandpa and said, you know, what else can we do? You know, they said, I want to buy this stock or I want to buy this. Well, that's fine. It's a great conversation. And grandma and grandpa can engage with their children in a small way about money and know that they're setting them up for their future. That's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. What are some strategies that you've employed? What are some new thinkings that you can bring that say, you know what, maybe I can provide some financial education and guidance to my children or to my grandchildren? How do I do that? Where can I learn lessons on providing that kind of advice? Well, we provide these newsletters not only here on the radio, but through our weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. It lands in your inbox and more than 7,000 people subscribe to it. If you'd like to get planning pointers, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and if you want to write a comment, you want to schedule a free initial consultation, you want to send me a question for me to answer on the radio, whatever you want, totally up to you. That's your next step towards getting financial advice in a language you can understand on an ongoing basis. We're going to take a break. When we get back, I want to talk about some creative ways to give to charity. Because it's the end of the year, people are thinking charity. How do you do it the right way? We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above. Alto Forno Restaurant. It isn't Alto Forno. It's Daniela's Ristorante. Fabulous restaurant downstairs. Hope you have an opportunity to visit them. The garlic bread is just amazing. It is getting closer and closer to Thanksgiving. Did you know that Hanukkah, the Jewish celebration that happens around wintertime, starts, I think it's a week from today, a week from Sunday. The 28th is when it starts. Christmas, of course, remains, of course, always the 25th of December. What are your plans? What are you doing? What are you doing differently? Have you been able to find the gifts that you want? Are you ordering online? How are you doing it? What's the approach that you're taking? Well, as we think about the Christmas holiday and the winter holidays, call it Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, all of those holidays, the sense and the timing of wanting to be charitably inclined rushes over all of us. We want to do something. We want to be able to give back. And there are some, the use of these GoFundMe pages. Everybody seems to be asking you to support them through some kind of a GoFundMe page. And as successful as that has been, it's so easy, right? You can support any charity, any organization, anything you want, anybody that's doing a cancer run, a pancreatic cancer run, fundraising for muscular dystrophy or multiple sclerosis, or say money for a pet shelter, or the fact that somebody had a tough and challenging situation. Maybe their child died or they were in an accident and were trying to raise money. Going to these GoFundMe pages have been very successful. But one thing that happens in GoFundMe pages is, if you've been there, is that you know that you usually ask the question when you enter in your credit card, are you willing to pay the service fee, which is usually around 3%, or would you like to have it deducted from your donation? And most people say, oh, I couldn't imagine if I'm going to make a $100 deduction, $100 donation, have it come across as $97. Of course, I'll pay the $100 so that when I do that honor roll and that roster that rolls along the GoFundMe page, that it'll say $100 rather than $97. Well, an interesting thing happened this week. I got a call from one of our clients who said that they wanted to make a sizable donation to a charity. They were solicited through a GoFundMe page, and they wanted to make a donation of $10,000. Big donation. It was something that was important to them. They had the resources to do it. And they knew that if they made a $10,000 donation, that $10,000 would be deductible on their tax return because of the way that their tax situation worked. They were in a higher tax bracket, and that $10,000 would really help towards a tax deduction. And he had asked me, can you just confirm that this makes sense? and I wanted to look at the charity, and I checked it all out, and I realized that this charity, one of the ways in which to contribute to this charity was through the GoFundMe page. But the charitable entity also was a charity that was set up at a bank and also had an account at a brokerage firm. And if the client had just simply wrote a check to the XYZ bank for $10,000 in the name of the charity, the client could simply get the $10,000 deposited there, get the full $10,000 deduction, and guess what? He wouldn't have to pay a service fee. And at $10,000, a 3% service fee is $300. So you don't necessarily, but like anything else, we've instinctively learned that to make life easier, we pay for conveniences. Look, we'll pay $5 for a water at a Red Sox game when you know you can get a water at home for 13 cents if you get one of those bottled waters. We'll pay $5 for a coffee when you can make coffee at home. We'll pay premium prices. We'll pay extra to get a Big Mac and French fries delivered to our home through DoorDash because we simply don't want to get off our butts from the couch and have someone deliver it to us. So there are conveniences, and there's times when convenience makes sense. But here we were talking about a sizable donation, a $10,000 donation that this person wanted to make. And it occurred to me that there was another way to do it. And I got on the phone with him and I said, look, you have this brokerage account at our office that you've had for a number of years here. And as you well know, the stock market has done very well, and some of the securities that you own have grown so much that you're hesitant to sell them because you don't want to pay the tax on it. You know, let's say that there was a technology company that you bought that maybe you spent $10,000 for, and believe it or not, now it's $200,000. That's crazy, right? It's grown like crazy. I said, what if you could take $10,000 from that technology company and simply give those shares to the charity? And he says, well, I didn't know I could do that. I said, well, let me call the head of the charity and see if you're able to do that. Most charities are set up, some are not, to do this. And I talked to the executive director of this charity, and they said, absolutely, we are set up to do this. We could send $10,000 in value of this technology company to the charity. And so the $10,000 in this case, the client's cost basis, if you just looked at the $10,000, he would have paid $500 for this stock, which is now worth $10,000. Now, if he had sold this stock and then said, all right, I'll take the $10,000 and give it to the charity, he would have had to pay a capital gains tax on $9,500. And at his rate, both state and federal, that would have been 25% or more, would have to go to the government. But instead, we were able to set up the account where we could transfer $10,000 in this appreciated security to Fidelity. That's where this account happened to be, right into the charity. So $10,000 of this security goes to the charity. The day the charity receives it, they sell the stock. And because they're a charity, guess what? They don't pay taxes on the gains. So this client, in doing this, gets to make a donation of $10,000, gets the full tax deduction for the $10,000 gift, and avoids having to pay taxes on the gain on this security, and because he's not doing it through a GoFundMe page, avoiding a 3% fee. Now, who thinks to do this? Who puts this strategy together? Who steps up to help you and guide you along with that? Well, a good certified financial planner will give you that kind of thinking and that guidance. He was blown away that this was a strategy that he could employ. And in fact, he began to wonder, how else can I give money to other charities this way rather than doing it through the GoFundMe page? You know, a lot of people, he wanted to do this. He didn't really want his name to appear as the donor because most people were giving $200, $500. He was going to give $10,000. And the last thing you want on these donor reels on the GoFundMe page is to see your name appear with the amount of money that you donated. Do you know why? Because many people, and you'll say, no, Mark, this is not true, but I promise you this happens all the time. There are programs and people who scour through all of the GoFundMe pages to see who are some of the biggest donors in all of these charities that are out there. And what could we do to learn about these people so that we could encourage them to learn, have it gain interest in our cause, and maybe they'd be a generous donor to our cause. Mark, that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. It happens all the time. But now this person that I was talking about, this client of ours, can gift this money to a charity, directly to Fidelity. Sure, he'll fill out the form to let the people at the charity know who gave it out, but he who gave the money, but he can then decide, does he want recognition for it or not? Or simply just use his initials or say anonymous, because it's really not about him getting a spotlight on his face. He just wants to do good. I want you to think about that. In the world we live in today, there are people, there are algorithms, there are bots that are listening all the time. I made a joke this past week. My daughter Mindy's friend Sanji was at the house, and she wanted to make us dinner. And she made us this thing called, what she called pepper chicken. Now, when I think pepper chicken, I'm thinking about one of those dishes that you get at a Chinese restaurant. But Sanji is Indian, and it was an Indian-style dish called pepper chicken. But she says, another way to think about it, it's kind of like French onion soup sauce with sautéed chicken thighs. It was awesome. It was so, so good. Interestingly, the next day, I'm on Facebook, and on my Tasty feed, I don't know if you get Tasty, it has all sorts of recipes, this recipe for French onion soup chicken pops up. Now, I don't know who's listening. I don't know where they're listening from. We have gnomes in our house. Perhaps there's little, I don't know, microphones or receptors in there. We have an Alexa. We have all sorts of things. But if you don't think people are gathering information about you from what you might type, what you might post in, every time you type in a search on your phone, every time you search something in Google, on Facebook, on Instagram, on anywhere, someone is collecting that information that you were searching on those topics. And then they're going to start to try to find ads that are relevant to those topics. And they all start to find you. The same thing will happen when you go into places, whether you buy products online, whether you choose to donate through a GoFundMe page or some other alternative charitable entity. They're gathering data on you. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. People have the right to do it. You're willing to agree to it. In fact, how many times have you signed up for something where at the bottom, do you agree to the terms? And you just simply hit the box because you don't want to read all the legalese. Well, you've agreed to all of these things. And so you can't get mad for them taking it because you already agreed to it. But understand it's part of life. But if there are ways that you can be thoughtful about doing better, to buying smarter, to making decisions that aren't necessarily feeding the fire of some of these marketing entities, and you instead getting the full value for the dollars that you spend, that is financial advice in a language you can understand. That's what we talk about each and every Sunday right here on North Shore 104.9. If you like this stuff, I want you to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. It lands in your inbox along with 7,000 other subscribers. Go to the bottom of any page on our website. That's our website is, of course, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and we'll get you signed up. And if you got a question for me, you got something you want to post, something you want to share, just include that too. You'll enjoy it. A lot of people say they really love the information. And if you like this, hang tight because we got one more segment to go. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. You know, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. It is our final segment of our show today. We produce this show each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I do hope you'll give our office a call. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. No, that's not the phone number for the studio. That's the number for our office. And we're not in the office today because, hey, it's almost 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And, yeah, we like to give the staff some time off. But you're welcome to call, leave a message. We'll be happy to get back to you. We can send you an information kit about the firm. We have it both electronically that we can send to you as well as in paper form. You know, many people ask us when they want to learn more about Friedman Financial, what can you send us? And I'm curious as to what your experiences have been when you've reached out to other financial planners and other type of investment professionals. When you say, hey, can you send out some information about your firm, what your processes are like, how things work, what do they send to you? We actually have a full kit that we send along to you. Not only does it tell you how to prepare for your initial consultation, but it begins to share things like, here's what you can expect from Friedman Financial. Here's how we will help you begin to build that blueprint, that roadmap towards understanding where you stand financially, understanding what strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats might be out there, and how do we plot a course to steer you towards a success that you're trying to achieve and understand whether it can be done with the resources, the assets, the challenges, the economic environment, whatever it might be. We look at all the possibilities because we know this. Financial planning is not a science. It's a fluid activity that requires change throughout one's financial life. And everything that gets printed, you know, if you've ever been to a financial advisor, maybe you've seen an insurance salesman, if maybe you've been to an investment professional, and they show you these big spreadsheets, right? They show you these big graphics of it. If you invested this amount of money today, here's what it would be worth 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now. Well, I got to be honest with you, folks. The likelihood of that happening is really slim. It's really slim unless you're buying, let's say, a CD or a treasury where we know that if we invested $10,000 today and it earns, let's say, 3% for 5 years, you know what you're going to have at the end of that period of time because it's guaranteed. It's backed by the full faith and credit of the government, or it's backed by FDIC insurance. When you start to buy investment and, frankly, sometimes insurance products, there is no guarantee. It's a projection. And you need to understand that just because you buy something today does not mean what it will look like in the future. Life happens. Economic environments change. Tax laws change. Your financial status changes. And it's ever so important to make sure that when you're making decisions for your financial future, that it's never just a plain old set it and forget it. You have to remonitor. You have to revisit. And I'm not suggesting that there are tactical changes in and out and all these kind of things that are necessary. No, but just be aware. One of the examples that we ran into this past week was a situation, and we see this a lot, is couples that come to see us and it's their second marriage. And as they begin thinking about merging their assets and working together, one of the things that they forget about is some of the old stuff that they had. Perhaps they had old wills or trusts or IRAs or 401ks. And sometimes they forget about what who the beneficiary should be now. Do you want the beneficiary to still be your ex-spouse? Well, if you don't go in and change those things, your ex-spouse, or in some cases we've seen people come that are getting married or they've been married for a while, but they were with, let's say, General Electric or Raytheon or whatever, when they turned 18 years old and they set up a 401k plan back then, and they named their mom as beneficiary. And because they've been with Raytheon or GE for so long, they've forgotten to change the beneficiary now that they're married. It's important that you do that, and especially if it's a second marriage. If it's a second marriage, do you want your money to go to your spouse when you die? Or do you want part of your money or all of your money to be preserved for your children if you have them? Or what variation thereof do you need? These are important questions to ask, and they can't be left for chance. And folks, if you think the solution is to just simply change your will, that doesn't solve the problem. And in fact, it creates more problems than it should. It's important when you're thinking about the totality of your financial situation that you're not doing this on your own. You know, people can pick investments and do it yourself for a while, but with all of the changes that are going on in the world, economically, tax-wise, environmentally, everything, you want to make sure that you're getting the proper guidance that's appropriate for you. Because what might be great for your neighbor, what may be great for your sister or your parents, may not be the best strategy for you. So if now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, and I know a lot of people think about this as we head towards the end of the year and they make resolutions saying, this is the year I'm going to get my financial house in order. Give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or if you want to learn a little bit more about what is financial planning, what is it that Friedman Financial does, or what is it that any financial planner does for that matter, you can always visit our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And you can search on new client information. There's a tab there that says new client information. It will talk about our process. It will talk about what to expect as a client of the office. It will share our fees. It shares everything. We are a very transparent firm. I don't ever want you to feel that you're working with a financial advisor where you're not going to get answers to your questions, and we're not going to spin it to just kind of deflect the answers that you're looking for. You deserve honesty, integrity, and you deserve to have someone who's there with you every step of the way. That's what we try to do. Now, many people will ask us, Mark, who is your target market? Who are you trying to focus on? Well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you who we're not trying to focus on. Those folks that are in their 30s or in their 40s who are trying to save for their future. Now, that's a very important group of people who need to make sure that they are putting money aside for their future, that they're protecting their family and their children, that they're being smart tax-wise, that they're having the right withholdings on their pay stubs, and they're making smart, informed decisions when it comes to major financial purchases, as well as monitoring their budget to make sure that they're not overspending. There's a lot of financial planners that help that group of folks. That's not our firm. But if you'd like to find someone who does serve that group, I encourage you to go to the Financial Planning Association's website. It's called OneFPA, O-N-E-F-P-A, OneFPA.org. If you go there, you can hit a button that says Find a Planner. And if you hit the planner button, not only are you going to be connected with people who are certified financial planners, you'll be connected with folks who live locally and who you can read about have a similar philosophy on the clients that they serve that might match your needs. So many people have found great success going there. Look, the Financial Planning Association of Massachusetts, that's F-P-A-M-A. F as in Frank, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, M as in Mary, A as in Apple, .org, F-P-A-M-A, is actually the local association for the national FPA website. So I know many of our listeners are listening from all around the country, so I just didn't want to share the FPA of Massachusetts website. In fact, we got people that call us that I know listening from India, from Canada, and some in Nevada and Arizona and Texas, all over the place. So I want you to find success somewhere. Who we serve are people who are 50 to 55 plus. They know they've done some saving. They wonder whether they've saved enough. They're thinking about retirement or they're in retirement. And they know that with all of the stuff that they've done over the past 20 years or so, they need to get their financial house in order. And so what we try to do is help you visualize where you stand financially. because there's a lot more questions than should I be buying the X fund or the Y fund or the Z stock or the B bond? That doesn't matter at this point. The individual securities, sure, you want to have your investment allocation structured properly, but so too should you have your ownership. So too should you understand how much money will I need in retirement and how do I know whether I'm on track to get there? How do I know whether I should continue to hold life insurance or pay off my mortgage? Or how should I pay for Social Security? Or when should I sign up for Social Security? Should I have a Roth IRA? Should I have a 401k? Should I consolidate my IRAs? What if I want to give my kids some money to help buy a house? All of those are questions that we answer on a regular basis at Friedman Financial. Many of our clients in their 50s and 60s, some in their 70s, find themselves inheriting money from the next generation. What do you do with the inherited money? Is it taxable to you? What if you received an IRA? In today's world, the IRA rules have changed a bit. If you receive an IRA from a parent, you now receive it as what's called a beneficiary IRA. And it used to be that when you got that money from a parent who was older, you could stretch the amount of money that you could take out of that IRA over your lifetime, because all the money that you receive in the IRA is subject to tax. But now the rules have changed. You have to take that money out over 10 years. Do you know how to do it properly? Are you prepared? Are you nervous? Do you have questions? Does financial experiences paralyze you? Well, that's what we do at Friedman Financial. We're here to help you. It's what we do every Sunday on this radio show, is raise questions that perhaps you've been thinking about but don't necessarily know the answers to. I want to rattle the tree a little bit. Make sure that you are aware of your surroundings and that you're asking yourself thoughtful and appropriate questions. And if you need answers to those questions, I hope you'll sign up for our newsletter, Planning Pointers, that comes out every Friday at 10:30. Go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com, put in your email address and your name, and you'll start to get that every Friday with financial advice in a language you can understand. Or you can give our office a call, 978-531-8108. We can schedule a free initial consultation for you. I'd love to meet with you. But I got to get out of here and turn this thing over to Scott Whitley, who's got some great recommendations for some fabulous restaurants all in around this community. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family. I'll see you next Sunday. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.